We're holding on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Continuing on the topic of Miyun, the Mishnah says, Ezu Iktana Shetzricha L'mayin, what kind of Ktana needs Miyun? Kol Shiyua of Ima V'Achia L'Daita, if her mother or her brother married her off with her consent. But he Shiyua Shalei L'Daita and Shetzricha L'mayin, if they married her off against her consent, then she doesn't even need Miyun. The meaning, in other words, that you have basically this three, so we can divide now, there's three different levels. You have a level where no miyun even is needed at all, she just walks away. Two, where you need a formal miyun, but nothing more than that, no get or nothing. And three, where you need an actual get.
Up to now, we were under the impression that...
that it's either get or miyun. Now we're saying there's a third tier. Yeah. Rav Chanina ben Antignus Omer, Kol Tinokas She'en Yichola Lishma Kedushah, any girl who's so young that she can't watch over the object that she was given for her Kedushin, the money or the object of value or the shtar, whatever it is, and it's Tzricha L'mayin, then she's young enough that she doesn't need Miyun either. The Gemara in Gittin discusses, are we talking about, you can distinguish between, there's a girl who's too young to be able to watch anything of value, like you give her, for example, a nut, and she throws it away, because she's too young to understand the difference. So that is that what we're talking about over here, or are we talking about over here that she's too young to be able to do business deals, basically, she's too young to know what buying and selling is all about. Essentially, the age ranges that we're talking about in halacha is below six is considered that she doesn't even know how to take care of anything. Between 6 and 10 is called onas ha'pa'utos. That's the age when she already some children at that point will know the meaning of money and the meaning of buying and selling. Others won't. And then you have above 10 where we assume that all of them will. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in my Ktana klum, no, in general, anything that was done by a Ktana, any marriage of a Ktana is nothing. Ela kibufuta. Effectively, we just consider her as though she was seduced outside of marriage, in other words. And therefore, Bas Yisrael, Lekoyen, Lateicha B'Truma, therefore, if she is a Bas Yisrael who was married to a Koyen, we don't consider her the Koyen's wife and she cannot eat Truma, unlike we learned before in a previous parak that according to the Chachamim, she can't eat Truma D'Araisa because her marriage doesn't exist D'Araisa, but she'd be able to eat Truma D'Rabbana, according to Rabbi Lazar, not even that. Bas Koyen, for example, Truma of vegetables, or for example, truma of crops that were grown in a flower pot without a hole, or from certain areas on the borders of Israel, etc. Yeah. On the other hand, bas koyin liyisrael teichel b'truma. But if she's a bas koyin who's married, or according to Rabbi Lea, they're not really married, therefore to the Israel, she can teichel b'truma. She can still eat truma because she hasn't become posel. She hasn't become posel by him by being married to Israel. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Omer. That no, the distinction he makes is as follows. Kol akava shehi min ha'ish, any delay, at the fact that she's still with him, if it's because of the husband, ke'ilu hi ishto, then we consider as if she's his wife. We'll learn in the Gemara what that means exactly. V'chol akava she'ena min ha'ish, any reason for the anything that she's still married that has nothing to do with him, ke'ilu ha'ena ishto, then we don't consider her to be his wife, and therefore no miyun is needed, and therefore she wouldn't be able to eat truma, etc.
So here with partially.
So we have several different opinions. We have the Tanakama saying that it doesn't really make a difference as long as it was Ladaita, we don't care. We have Rabbi Eliezer going to the other extreme and saying Ladaita or Shaloi Ladaita, she's a Ktana, so it's nothing. And Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov sort of taking a middle view. But what exactly his Akava or Shehi min ish or Sheinim min ish, that we'll learn in the Gemara. This is Aaron. These are Aaron.
What's the next
step? So Gemara says, Amr of Yehuda, the Amri love Masnisa Tana, so Rabbi Yehuda says, or others say that it says in a Braisa, Barishona Hoyu Kospin Get Miyun, originally they would write in a Get Miyun, they would write a whole bunch of statements. Lo Ra'ino Bey, I don't want him, Vloy Tzavino Bey, I don't desire him, V'lesana Bayalis Nasvalay, I don't want to stay married to him. However, given the Chazu D'Nafish Dibura, later on the Chachamim realized there's a problem with all that repetitiousness. Amri, because people are, they said that people are going to say that it may be confused with a get. What's the problem? What do we mean it might be confused with a get? Rashi says it means that you might one time have an ignorant sofer, who's writing out a get, and they think, you know what, this language in a get and miyun is very similar to a regular divorce. Let me write that in. And the problem is, that would be an actual possible get, because a get has to be that the husband is saying to the wife, is saying that I'm sending you away, that you're not my wife anymore. As opposed to, in the get miyun, she's saying to him, you're not my husband anymore. That's no good.
Although in a get, she had the wife's consent.
No, before Chayim Rabbeinu Gerushim, you didn't. But that's neither here nor there. The point.
Deraisa, you don't.
So, and the language of a get, the essence of a get, is that you're saying Harei at Mutaref L'Chaladam, that I am sending you away as from being my wife, and you're allowed to marry anybody else. So we don't want an ignorant sofer to think that he can use these kinds of expressions, that the wife is saying, I don't want to stay married to you, in a get, because that would be possible again. A different explanation also from the Rashba, I think, is that what does it mean? People might confuse it with a get. Is people are going to see, for example, that we learned before that, for example, the husband is allowed to marry the Mamanis' sister or whatever. If people are not going to realize, people are going to think it was a real get. They're going to say, hey, you're allowed to marry your wife's sister after you divorced her, which is not. It's an error. Chakinu hachi. Therefore, the Rabbanan instead made the following takana. That you should just write, V'yoyim ploini miyun aploini spas ploini ban pana. On such and such a day, ploini spas ploini did miyun in front of us, without going into any details of what she said or didn't say or whatever, and that way we make it clear that it's just a document certifying that miyun has been done without anybody possibly confusing it with a get. Tana Rabbanan, Ezeu miyun. What is the actual definition of miyun? We've been talking about miyun so far, but what does it consist of? Omra, when she says, "E actually be ploini baili," I do not want to be married to ploini, my husband, or "E actually be kiddushin to kiddushuni imi v'achi," or I don't like the kiddushin that my mother or my brother did for me. Yes, there are Omra Rabbi Yehuda. Then Rabbi Yehuda goes even further. Afilu yeshevis ba'apirion, even if she's sitting on the litter. In those days, they would carry a pal on a litter, like a fancy kind of stretcher, like you see in old books or whatever. Like kings and queens would be carried like in a fancy like chuppa type thing on poles that would be carried on people's shoulders. So even if she's on her way to the chuppa, she's on her way from her father's house to her husband's house. But Umrah, and at that point, she says, "E'ef she be plaini baili, I do not want to be married to plaini my husband." Zeu miyun. And that can be considered a miyun. Don't think a second that maybe it's just she's having, you know, wedding jitters or whatever. Maybe it's not a real thing.
It's cold feet.
Yeah, no, it's a real thing.
But even an adult?
No, an adult. There was kiddushin already. She needed to get.
That's after kiddushin.
This is after kiddushin, of course. Yeah. Yes, Sir Arkane. Yes, Sir Arkane, Amr Rabbi Yehuda.
She carries it on this canopy where to go to Yehud.
To go to Yehud, yeah, to go to actual wedding, yeah. To the chuppah, to the yichud, whatever, yeah. Yes, and okay, no, Rabbi Yehuda. Then Rabbi Yehuda goes even further. Even if there are guests sitting around the table in her husband's house, and she's standing and serving drinks, and right then she turns to the guests and says, you know what, I don't want to be married. Even that is considered miyun. Don't just think maybe it's a temporary thing that's like, you know, she's upset at having to serve all the drinks and all. No, it counts. Yes, at Arkane Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda, Afilu Shigra Baila Eitzel Chenveni, even if her husband sent her to the store, Lahavi Lechefetz Mishaloi, to go bring something, to go get something of his, Va'amra, and she says to the storekeeper, Yefshi Bepleini Baili, I don't want to be married to Pleini, my husband, even that, Ein Lecha Miyun Godo Mizeh, there's no greater Miyun than that, and it's valid Miyun. Again, don't think that it's just that she's upset for the moment because he sent her on an errand, maybe she'll change her mind. No, it's a Miyun. By the way, when the Mishnah had talked about the mother or brother is marrying her off Ladaita and Shaloi Ladaita, the Yerushalmi says an interesting thing. If they dressed her up in kala clothes and they told her, you're going to be getting married, that's considered Ladaita. If they told her, there's a husband waiting for you over there and we're putting on all these fancy kala clothes for you for that, that's considered Ladaita. Whereas if they don't mention the concept of marriage, even though they're dressing her up in kala clothes and everything, that's not considered Ladaita because she's little. She doesn't realize. She thinks it's just they're dressing her up for a photo shoot or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So what age is considered little?
Till 12. So now we come to the next thing, that Rav Chanina ben Antigonus Omer Koltenotis V'chula, that we said in the Mishnah that if a girl is too young to be able to watch over the object that was given to her for Kedushin, then she doesn't even need miyun. She can just leave anytime she wants without even declaring anything and go back.
There's no meaning for what
they're... Right. So that's the halacha. So basically, the Rambam summarizes it as follows: below six, she can just return home without miyun or anything. Between 6 and 10, we have to see whether she knows the meaning, whether she knows the meaning of a kinyan. Above 10, we assume that she does, and then she would need miyun. So under 6, she never needs. Between 6 and 10, she might or might not need. Above 10, until bas mitzvah, she's always going to need miyun. Tana. We learn in a braisa. Tana shalemiyana. What if this girl did not do miyun? But she went and married somebody else instead. Mishum rabbi yehuda ben b'seira. Nisu'er hein miyuner. The very fact that she's going and marrying somebody else, that itself constitutes a miyun. Obviously, the fact that she's willing to go and marry somebody else, and she knows she can't be married to two husbands, effectively, that means, in other words, I'm not interested. But we're talking about, we're talking about an older kid. We're talking about an older kid, even though we're talking about an older kid. She's old enough already that we know we would have to have her do miyun. But the very fact that she goes and marries somebody else, that itself is considered miyun. Okay, what happens if she only does kiddushin? You were talking about if she actually went through the whole marriage. What if she just did kiddushin? Tashma. Tana shalemiyana, another braisa says that if Tana did not do miyun, and she went and did kiddushin, mishum rabbi yehuda ben b'seira, am kiddushin heinan miyuneh. Same idea, the kiddushin effectively is a miyun. But now, first of all, pligi rabbanon alei de rabbi yehuda ben b'seira eloi, do the rabbanon disagree with him? We're saying rabbi yehuda ben b'seira says this. Does that mean that everybody else disagrees? But maybe not. Maybe it's just he said this halacha and nobody else happened to address it. Number two, if they're arguing, are they arguing with him only as far as kiddushin? That they would argue maybe kiddushin is not really a significant enough act to be considered a mirun, but maybe nisuin, the full-fledged thing, would be. Or maybe they even argue about nisuin. The imtim salama pligi afilib nisuin, and if you want to say that they argue even about nisuin, the next question is halacha kamoisei and halacha kamoisei. Do we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda or not? And the imtim salama halacha kamoisei nisuin, oh afilib kedushin. Do we say if we're going to say that halacha is like him in nisuin, would the halacha also like him in kedushin? Or again, would there be a reason to distinguish that maybe nisuin is considered a miyun, but kedushin is not? Tashma, come, let's dispose of it all in one fell swoop. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha could Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that the halacha is like him, which implies halacha meklal the pligi. If we have to say that halacha is like him, implies that the chachamim disagree with him. Okay, v'akati dibayiloch to have an esiva meikra adumu mikadsha. Okay, but fine. If we say halacha could Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, it's referring to both braises. We have one b'raisa where he said nisuin. We had another b'raisa where he said kiddushin. We're saying the halacha is like him in both. So that disposes of all our questions so far. We know, therefore, that yes, the chachamim disagree with him in both. And we know the halacha is like him in both.
That either kiddushin or nisuin
is enough to constitute miyun. Yeah. But now you have one more.
The one against the chachamim.
But it happens. It happens. We said the other day, halacha ka'isa azug, that miyun can be done in front of just two people instead of a basin. Every rule has exceptions. What? Our mission is... So actually, the Mephoshim say the difference is, for example, in the case of the grocery, the fact of the matter is you're going to need aid. Because again, like we said the other day, you need proof that it was done. Otherwise, without any proof. And second of all, if we say that it's a davar shebe erva, then you anyway need two aidim. Ein davar shebe erva pachim mishnayim. That's the question. It can be either to prove. It depends whether we consider it a davar shebe erva or not. We talked about this the other day. That davar shebe erva is one of those things. You have to have two aidim, otherwise the thing never even happened.
To be valid.
Versus whether it's aidim birur, where you just need aidim to verify that it happened. Either way, you'd need that. So yeah, when we're talking about the storekeeper, we're talking about obviously there are other people in the store as well. Okay, so v'akati tibayiloch. Okay, but then we have another question. To have a nesiva meikara adoma mikadsha. This that we're saying that kedushin or nisuin to a second man is considered the equivalent of miyun. Does that work even if she was already completely married to her first husband, or only if she was only niskadish to him? Maybe you could argue if she was only niskadish to him, that's a weak thing. Fine, you can break it off easily by going and being niskadish to somebody else. Maybe nisuin is stronger. Tashma, come, we can bring a proof from the case to Kalsay to Avdan Imrud, because the daughters-in-law of Avdan rebelled against their husbands. This is Bepashtus, this is the same Avdan that we had in the story the other day of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, that he talked against him and wound up, it wasn't funny, that one of the tragedies that happened to him is that his daughters-in-law did miun against their husbands. Bepashtus, it's the same one. And Shadur Rebbe Zugid Rabbanan Lemivdekinu. And Rebbe sent a pair of Chachamim to check out the situation, whether they still are being murdered, whether they still want to continue their miyun, or whether maybe they change their mind. Amri Lavu, and they say to them, Nashi Chazu Gavreichu Dekasu. He says to them, hello, women, look, your husbands are coming. Don't you want to say hello to them? Amri Lavu, and the daughters-in-law answer, Nehevu Gavreichu Dekhu. Better let them. You send women to talk to them to tell them, look, your husbands are coming. And the girls say, you know what? Better let them be your husbands. We're finished with them. And Rebbe says that there's no greater miyun than that. That is a perfectly valid miyun. Obviously, they're dead set on it. Now, my lab to have a nesiva. Aren't we talking about, presumably we're talking about the case where they were really married to their husband? Because for one thing, the fact that they use the expression gavraichu usually means your husband, as opposed to arusaichu, the ones who are only arus to you. It was only kedushin, yeah. And so it's like, have a makatshi kedushin, not necessarily. They could have used the word gavraichu in a looser sense. It means the ones who you're neskadish to. So you can't prove anything. The halacha could have been heard of Meseira. In the end, though, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda Meseira. The afilu b'nisurin dekama, even when it comes to the nisurin of the first husband. So even if she was fully married to the first husband, and then she goes and does only kedushin with the second husband, that already is enough to constitute miyun. Then the Mishnah continued. Rabbi Lazar or Rabbi Yezer, Oymer Chola, that Rabbi Lazar or Rabbi Yezer had said that the marriage of a ketana is not considered anything with halacha, and therefore we said that therefore we say that except for the fact that she needs miyun, we don't consider her to be his wife at all. She can eat, she can't eat shum if her husband's a kohen, etc. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Chizrani al kol tzidei chachamim. I'm reviewing all the different opinions of the chachamim on this subject. The only one I can find who's being really fully consistent when it comes to a ketana is Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar effectively considers her, she's not married to him at all. It's just as if they're walking around in the yard together. Therefore, he holds, so therefore she can get up from his lap, meaning after they've had relations, she can tovel, because you become tame from having relations, so she tovels, and immediately, if she's a Bas Kohen, she can eat truma that evening. We don't say she's possible because she's married to Israel, because according to Rabbi Elazar, she's not married. And so Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is saying that Rabbi Elazar is the only one who's really being consistent in that, in saying that in every possible way, we don't consider her to be his wife. And what does that mean? Tanya, we learn in Abraisa, Rabbi Elazar ein maisek tana klum, that the actions of a tana are nothing, so therefore her marriage is nothing. The ein baila zakai loib, except for the fact that she needs miyun, even he agrees to that. The ein baila zakai, so therefore her husband is not entitled loib mitziyasa, not to anything she finds, not to anything she produces, which we've learned before that usually a husband is entitled to both of those things from his wife. He's also not entitled to cancel her nedarim, which is something that a prerogative that we've learned before the Torah gives to the husband. The ena yosha, he cannot inherit her. The ena matamila, and if he's a kohen, he can't become tamei mes for her. Kol shaldavar. The bottom line, the general rule, ena ke'ishta l'chodavah, she's not considered like his wife for any purpose, ela shetzricha miyun, except for the fact that she needs miyun. So that's Rabbi Elazar is being really consistent over there. He's saying that for every din that you have, a husband and wife, she's not considered his wife. She's considered like he said in the Mishnah Mufurta.
So what is she miyun then? It's not.
So okay, because the fact of the matter is they're together, and then the Chachamim, to begin with, made a takana that people should want to marry her in order that she's not just left as hefker until she's bat mitzvah, so therefore you do need some kind of official thing.
And if she didn't have miyun,
then she's not allowed to. Well, after she grows up, she can't do miyun anyway. After she grows up, if she still is married to the husband, she'd need to get. Everybody agrees to that. The Gemara is going to talk about why you need miyun, but yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Thank you. Rabbi Yeshua says no. Baila Zakai B'Mitziyasa, her husband is entitled to anything she finds, U'Maisiya Deh, and to anything she produces, U'Va'afara Sederer, he's able to cancel the Nedarim, V'Yosha, he can Yoshin her, U'Mitamila, he can become Tamei for her, Kol L'Shaldava, Harei Ki'ishto L'Chaldava, she's like his wife for all purposes, Ela Shayotzi B'Miyun, except that she only needs Miyun rather than a get. Now, how does Rabbi Yeshua allow all these things? So some of them are Dabar Shabbamon. The matter of Maisi Adea and Mitziyasa and the matter of Yarshining her, we learned earlier on Daf Tzadik when we had the whole sugya about can the Rabbanon override something to Araisa, that yes, when it comes to Dinei Mamonis, they have more latitude because Hefker based in Hefker. So yes, they have the right to do those. As far as Afaras Midareha, that's something on the face of it. If the Torah doesn't consider them married, how does he have the right for that? The vote is because even so, the fact is, as a practical matter, she is married to him, even if midaraisa doesn't really have an effect. And when she makes a neder, it's al das if her husband agrees to it. That's really the basis why the Torah gives the husband the right to cancel his wife's nederim in the first place. So in this case, fine. He's not really being made for it, at, not really as a husband's prerogative, so to speak, not necessarily as the prerogative that's laid out in the Torah, but a more general thing. If I make a neder on condition that you agree to it, if you don't agree to it, then that's it. Same idea. And as far as the mitame for her, we learned on Daf Tzadik, the idea was that we consider her like a mes mitzvah. Since, according to Rabbi Yeshua, he's going to yarshin her, her family won't. Therefore, he's the only one who's likely to have an incentive to take care of her burial, whereas her family, whereas her birth family might not. And so that's why Rabbi Yeshua is saying that all these things do work. Amar Rabbi, Nirin Divir Rabbi Eliezer and Divir Rabbi Yeshua, it seems more logical to say it like Rabbi Eliezer than like Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer Hishva Midoisa, because Rabbi Eliezer is being consistent. Rabbi Yeshua Cholak, where's Rabbi Yeshua, is distinguishing. How is he distinguishing? Because we learned before as far as the matter of Truma, that if she's a Bat Yisrael marrying a Kohen, she cannot eat Truma, or at best she can eat Truma Drabanan. Whereas if she's a Bat Kohen Yisrael, then she's not allowed to eat Truma. So he's making distinctions over there. Here's another distinction. My chalak, what do you mean Rabbi Yeshua is distinguishing? Because he is the hitiboyge. Because if she's considered his wife, Rabbi Yeshua is considering his wife for all purposes, then what are you telling me, Mion? Tiboy get, she should need an actual get. So you see, Rabbi Yeshua is being inconsistent. Question is Rabbi Yehuda Nami. Okay, you can ask the same question in Rabbi Yehuda. If she's not considered his wife, what do you need Mion for? The answer is that's not such a problem. You expect her to go out without anything whatsoever. You need something to dissolve the marriage. Maybe not a get, but you need something official.
They live together.
They live together, yeah. Like the Shabbat said in the Mishnah, you don't want the Mishnah to be happy.
So it's like a proof. It's for others, but not really for the marriage, so to speak.
Okay, but whatever it is, Rabbi Eliezer can be consistent and not consider it a marriage, but still say the fact of the matter is, since in the eyes of the world it looks like they're married, then you need something. Okay, yeah. Then the Mishnah had said, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov had drawn a distinction between Akava Shehimina Ish, where she's still staying married because of the husband, versus she's still staying married for something that has nothing to do with the husband. Hey, Chidama Akava Shehimina Ish, Akava Shehimina Ish. So what does that distinction mean? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, it means, Tahuli Nasei, if somebody else proposes marriage to her, but Amra, and she says, Machmas Pliny Baili, I can't because I'm married to my husband. Zuriakava Sheminish. This is considered that she's remaining married because of the husband. Whereas if she says Machmas Bnei Adam Shein and Mugunim, if she says I don't want to accept the proposal because you're not compatible with me or you're not suitable for me, Zuriakava Sheminish. This is considered she's staying married not because she wants to stay married with her husband, but because there's no better alternative, basically. So that would be the difference. Then that's where the Blazer and Yaakov is saying, in the first case, she does need Miyun. In the second case, she doesn't. Or in the first, no, not whether she'd need Miyun or not, even she'd need Miyun in either case. But do we consider, like Rabbi Eliezer is saying, that she's not considered his wife at all, no Mitzia, no Maisia Dea, etc., or not? If she's saying, I don't want to marry you because I'm already married, then that means she considers herself to be married. So therefore, her Mitzia and Maisia Dea, etc., go to her husband. If she's saying, I don't want to marry you, yes, I would like to be out of my marriage with my husband, but you're not compatible with me, that means she's not thinking of herself as married anymore. Therefore, no Mitzia, no Maitia.
So wait a minute. So what she says, or what she thinks.
She's saying right now, you're proposing that I should marry so-and-so. She could be saying, I don't want to accept that proposal because I already have a husband. or I don't want to accept that proposal because I don't like that guy.
But we said that she doesn't have das.
She doesn't have full das. She's not yet bas mitzvah, but she has enough das. We said before. We said in the Mishnah, the marriage itself, the original marriage, in order for her to even have to do miyun, has to be done l'daita. We said if the original marriage was done shaloi midaita, then she doesn't even need miyun. So now we're saying something similar, that if she's saying, now that she's married already, she has a certain degree of das. We learned before, which is das klisha. She has a weak das. Enough to be able to make this kind of distinction. That's one explanation. Rabbi Ba'oven, Rav Chiya Ba'oven, Da'amitabayu. Rabbi Ba'oven and Rav Chanina Ba'oven give a different explanation. They say, it's like this. Nosam lo get, if the husband gives her a get, Zuri Akava, Sheimin Ish, then it means that there was a delay because of the man. Meaning, she would have preferred to stay married to him. Why are they no longer married? It was the husband's initiative. He's the one who gave her a get. And therefore, once he gave her a get, who also became a serv, he also became a serv, then, as the next missionary is going to say, he's now also to marry any of her relatives, like a regular grusha, she's not allowed to marry his close relatives, and by giving her the get, he passed her from marrying a kohen. On the other hand, Mianaboy, if she did miyun, if the initiative to break up the marriage came from her, then Zuriya Kavah She'ena Mina'ish, then that's considered that the delay up until this time was not because of the husband. She didn't stay with him because of him. She stayed with him because she hadn't gotten around to doing miyun yet. Therefore, once miyun was done, he's allowed to marry her relatives because the whole marriage was broken up. The marriage was retroactively annulled, so there was never a marriage there in the first place. She's allowed to marry his relatives. V'loy pasul min ha'kohen, and he is not pasul from kohen. Question is, according to that second explanation, because she's not a grusha. Question is, how could that be? What Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov means? The next Mishnah says explicitly, that if she does miyun, they're each mutter to marry each other's relatives, because consider there was never any marriage here to the first place, and she's not possible kumuna. So the next Mishnah clearly makes that very distinction. Why would Rav Elazar ben Yaakov have to make it in our Mishnah? The answer is Parashat Kamafadish. The next Mishnah is explaining more explicitly what our Mishnah is saying more briefly. You could say that in our Mishnah, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying a brief rule, Akavah she'imin ish, Akavah she'imin ish, and the next Mishnah clarifies what that means.
Well, he agrees, but he gives more of a...
So that's one way, or the other way of explaining, again, is that it's a question of when somebody proposes marriage to her, what is she answering? Because that I'm married, or that I don't like that guy. Mishnah says, Ham enes be'ish, what we just learned, if a girl does miyun against a man, whom mutter b'kreveser, he's allowed to marry her relatives, because there was never any marriage there in the first place. V'hi muteres v'krevav, she's allowed to marry his relatives. V'lei pasul min ha'kohuna, and he does not pasul her from marrying a kohen, because she's not a grusha. Not some guess, but... Their marriage was annulled. We don't consider it they were married and now they're not married anymore. We consider it the marriage has been uprooted, milah hatchila.
There was no
marriage there to begin with.
The marriage was for a short period of time and they didn't have a chance to have...
Doesn't matter how long it was. As long as she's still a chana, she can do miyun. As long as she was married off by somebody other than her father, and we said it was l'daita, that was done with her understanding, and she's still below bas mitzvah, then yes, she can do miyun.
Even if she's lost of sora.
Yeah, of course. So we're talking about bad relations, yeah.
And she can marry a kohen. Interesting.
Yeah. No, so she can't marry a kohen gadol, obviously, because a kohen gadol has to marry a psula, but a regular kohen doesn't have to marry a psula. He can't marry a grusha, a zoyna, or a halala. She's none of the above.
Say there was a girl that wasn't you're a shemayim.
Yeah.
She slept around or whatever. Now she becomes a matshuva.
It actually becomes a big question in halacha. Basically, what it boils down to is if any of the men that she was ever with are also to marry her by an isur kares or Mrs. Bastin, or they were goyim, then yes, she's possible to corner. If it's a goy also, because kedushin aren't tofus with a goy. Any case with kedushin aren't tofus.
I think a lady
or
chalal
also.
A girl who slept around now can't marry a kohen.
Depends. depends. Again, it depends who. If she knows who her partners were, let her figure out. If they're all kosher Jews,
right,
then fine.
Uh-huh.
If any of them were goyim, but it's not that. The definition of zayna was that she was nivel to somebody who was author to her.
Okay.
Yeah. Or to a halal. So as long as she makes sure that none of these guys were goyim or halalim or other psula yichus, then she's fine. But yes, it does become a very, very big problem sometimes. Continues the Mishnah. Natan la get. What if instead the husband gives her a get? Who also would prevesel? Well, then it's like the usual case of a grusha. He's also to marry her relatives. He has to prevesel. She's also to marry any of his relatives. Or possibly not korna. He passes her from korna because she's a grusha. How about another case? Natan la get vechzira. What happens? The husband gave her a get and then remarried her, which fine. He's allowed to do that as long as she hadn't married somebody else. That's machzir grusha. But then mianaboy. Now she decides again she wants out, so she does miyun. V'nisis lacher. So let's review the scenario over here. There was a get, then she remarried him, then there was a miyun. So the marriage at the end was dissolved with a miyun. And what the Mishnah is basically going to say is the miyun sort of overrides the get. We ignore the fact that there was ever a get. We focus on the fact since the miyun uproots the marriage melachatchila. Well, if it uproots the melachatchila, then there's no get. It's stronger than a get. Therefore, v'nisus lacha, therefore, if she marries somebody else, v'nisam alay niskarisha, and she's widowed or divorced, muteras lachdalay, she's allowed to return to her first husband. We don't say, as we've had many times in the Masechta, that if you divorced your wife and she married somebody else, then you're not allowed to marry her back. Because here, it's not considered that you divorced her. There was no marriage. There was no marriage and there was no divorce. On the other hand, if it was the other way around, mianaboy bechzure, what if first she did miun, then she agreed to remarry him, nasam lo get, then he gave her a get, then what we're saying is the get having been the last thing, that's the important thing. The last thing is always the important one. Therefore, v'nisus lacher, if she marries somebody else, v'nis amlo niskausha, and she's widowed or divorced, asura lachzala, then she can't return to her first husband, because that would be the usual case. She's also to a kohen as well, but that's another matter, yeah.
Why would the second time? Why would we
need to get in any case? Because suppose that for whatever reason the husband decides she didn't want to do miyun. You could have a very simple case. She didn't want to do miyun. She was happy with her husband, but her husband wasn't happy with her, so he gives her a get. Zachal, the general rule is as follows: get acha miyun asur alachza. But if the get came after the miyun, then she can't return to him. Miyun acha get mucharis lachzalay. If the miyun followed the get, then she is allowed to return to him. And Rashi explains the klal includes even if it was many times, it could be repeated many times. He divorced her in Tishrei. He remarried her in Cheshvan. He divorced her again in Kislev. Divorced her again in Tevet. Remarried her in Shvat, and then she did miyun and Adar. The miyun can cancel all the previous gittin. Another din: hamama enes beish v'nisus lacha v'gersha. If she does miyun against her husband, then she marries somebody else, and then the gersha, and he divorced her. La'acher umiyanaboy. Then she marries a third husband and does miyun. La'acha v'gersha, and then she marries a fourth husband who divorces her. Zachlal, and the rule is as follows: Kol sheyotzeh hemenu b'get asur lachzalay. Any of the husbands that she left with a get, she's not allowed to return. Miyun muteras lachzalay. Whereas if she left them with miyun, she is allowed to return to that particular husband. We don't say, in other words, which this is what the Gemara is going to discuss now. We don't say, on the face of it, we might have thought, when you think about it, what are we saying? She's married. She's first married to Reuven, and she's married to Reuven and does miyun. She marries Shimon and gets a get. She marries Levi and does miyun. She marries Yehuda and gets a get, etc. You might have thought maybe the miyun, maybe if she does miyun to the last husband, maybe that should cancel all the previous gittin as well from each of her husbands. The Mishnah is saying no, and the Gemara is going to discuss that point. Right. The Gemara is going to discuss that point. Alma, so we see from the first part of the Mishnah, asi miyun mevato get, that miyun can cancel a get. Again, her original husband gave her a get. Later on, she remarries him, and then she does miyun. We're saying the miyun overrides the get, and therefore she's... But I have a contradiction from the later part, from the second part of the Mishnah. We said if she did miyun against the first husband and then married a second one and got a get from him, we said each husband that she got a get from, she's not allowed to remarry. Any husband that she left with miyun, she's allowed to. Alma, which proves, Loi Osi Miyun Dechabre Uvato Gita Didei. So the Miyun of the next husband doesn't cancel his own get. We still consider he, the original husband, is considered to have divorced her. The fact that she did Miyun against the second husband overrides her marriage with Shimon, but it doesn't override her marriage with Reuben. Now, on the face of it, that's a contradiction.
What's that? She's married to
if she was married originally to Reuben and Reuben gave her a get, then she married Shimon and did Miyun. What we're saying is we still consider the fact that she was married to Reuben and divorced from him, therefore she's not allowed to return to Reuben. We don't say that the Miyun she did against Shimon uproots her whole marriage going all the way back to Reuben. That seems to contradict the first part of the Mishnah, that Miyun can override a get. At this point, the Gemara is not thinking that there's a difference between different husbands or the same husband. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, you're right, Tavra, it's a contradiction. Or Tosfos in a few places explains that Tavra is like an expression of an oath, a Shavua. Literally, Tavra means breaking, so it can mean a contradiction, like, yeah, right, it's broken up, we have no way to resolve it. Or it can mean like an expression of an oath, like, it's definitely true. Misha Shanazu La Shanazu. Obviously, the Mishnah is from two different Tanayim. The Tana of the first half is not the same as the Tana of the second half. Amar Rava, but Rava says, "Oh my kosher, why? What's the stira? The dim of miyun didei mevato get didei. We do have to consider there are different people involved. His own miyun can cancel his own get. Miyun dechaver le mevato get didei. Whereas a miyun of somebody else cannot be mevato his get.
No contradiction.
Umai shna miyun dechaver le mevato get didei. So what's the logic? What would be the logic to say that miyun of one should not override the get of the other? We would say like this. Because you have to consider it. This girl was originally married to Reuben. They were married for a while. She got to know his habits. She got to know, like, he winks a certain way. He's hinting such and such. He moves with his hands a certain way. Like he knows how to be able to communicate non-verbally with her because they were married. Therefore, also meshabesh maisima. So therefore, maybe we should be concerned that. Even though he divorced her, that he might, while she's married to Shimon, he might go one day and start hinting to her non-verbally, you know what, you should leave Shimon and come back to me. We don't want that to happen. Therefore, we're saying that even if she does end up giving in to his idea and going and doing miyun against Shimon, she won't be able to return to Reuven in order to prevent him from trying shtick like that. Well, then the question is, miyun didei nami loy lebato gita didei. By that logic, his own miyun shouldn't cancel his own get either. Same idea, the idea to Makeres Bunumizaisa Vukritsa, because again, since he knows how to talk non-verbally to her, and she'll recognize it, also Mashabash Maisila, then he'll be able to convince her to come back to him, to do Mashabash literally means like to trick her, like to convince her. She's a little kid after all. She's more easily suggestible. So what's the difference? If he did miyun also, you have the same problem. If she marries another husband, why are we allowing when he could do the same kind of trick? The answer is hokvah shabsha v'la'i shabsha. The difference is, in that case, he already tried. He obviously already tried to induce her to stay with him. She didn't want to. The fact is, we said she did miyun, which implies that she said, I don't want to be married to you anymore. I don't care what you're hinting. I don't care what motions you're making. I don't care how you're winking, etc. I don't want to be married to you. So therefore, if she did miyun, we obviously have no reason to worry. Whereas if he gave her a get, she may still have wanted to stay married to him. It was his initiative that they got divorced. So therefore, now we might be concerned that he might change his mind and try to trick her back into it. Go down my ribs and see you tomorrow, I guess, that's a shame.